Welcome along then to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post. A massive week, of course, here at The Racing Post. It is Cheltenham Festival Week, and we've got everything you need to know about the festival. Keep your eyes peeled on our YouTube channel here, of course, and on our socials. We'll serve you up everything you need to know, and the man joining me is going to serve you up everything you need to know about last week and this week's golf, more importantly. Steve Palmer. Steve, how are you?
Good morning, Dave. Yes, I hope you have a nice time at the Cheltenham Festival. Golf-wise, another excruciating weekend, let's be honest. Having only 8 tips across 4 tournaments was an error. It was supposed to save punters money for the festival, but it only ended up costing punters money, because if you had a second tip in the Arnold Palmer Invitational, you have Cameron Young place money, which pays for the Scottie Scheffler win bet. And then if you have more than 2 tips in the Puerto Rico Open, you probably have the winner, Ricky Castillo. You probably have a 100-to-1 place from Blades Bloody Brown, if you pardon my French. So I completely messed up my tactics last week, Dave. I'm really sorry. I hope I suffered more than anyone last week. I probably did. I'm really sorry about the tactics last week. I just so obsessed with getting a quadruple, Dave. Yeah, I've been doing for 25 years and I've never had a quadruple. When there's 4 tournaments,
You beat yourself up, Steve. Don't beat yourself up. Like I said to you, we've exchanged WhatsApp messages. I tried to give you a little pep talk. 4 golf tournaments, right? You can't have them all. You can't have all the players. Well, it would have been a zillion lines.
Yeah, but that's the problem. That's the problem. It's this obsession with the multiples. Like, you don't need to approach golf tournaments thinking about multiples. But when there's 4, I just cannot resist it, because I'm desperate to get a quadruple before I die. It's been in this game for 25 years. I've never had a quadruple. And I was just so focused on the quadruple last week that I didn't treat each tournament as a separate entity. I'm just full of self-loathing for my tactics. Completely messed up my tactics last week. Fortunately, only 2 tournaments this week. So, I can approach things in a more sensible fashion, Dave.
All is forgiven, Steve. Don't worry. Don't beat yourself up. This golf game, it comes at you hard, mate, because it comes every week. So you can never beat yourself up.
Well, I think last week I accused you of being mad because of greyhound betting. But I think greyhound betting is a sea of serenity, isn't it, when compared to golf betting? Yeah, greyhound betting's over in a flash and there's only 6 runners. The highs and lows of golf betting. But don't worry, you're right. I resilience is the name of the game in golf betting. And on the Monday, I worked through it. I've come back strong. I actually really like the look of the Players' Championship. We've got a massive event this week, and I really like the look of it. I've got my positivity back for the Players' Championship, but we'll come to that after the Live Singapore.
Right. Let's review then. A man that never wins did win last weekend. John Rahm doing the business. Now, I'm reading here a first tournament success since 2024. So he went all of last year without winning, which just seems absolutely bonkers. 23 under par, Tommy Dietrich, 20 under par, Thomas Peters, 19 under par. Rambo, back on the winner's podium.
Yeah, it was 539 days, Dave. His victory drought was 539 days. He went off 4-1 last week. Obviously, it's an enormous victory drought for a player of that stature. I mean, LIV Golf gets a lot of stick for the lack of strength and depth. Well, John Rahm couldn't win on the LIV Tour for the whole of 2025. September 2024, the last win. It's a massive monkey off his back because he kept finishing second. He had second-itis. He admitted how relieved he was to get a win last week. His form figures this year are 2-2-1. So, yeah, Rahm would be delighted with that. He'd be delighted with his world ranking. LIV events getting world ranking points for the first time this year. You've been following Rahm's progress, dropping out the top 100. He was 97 at the start of this year, world number 97. He's up to 36 now. So, we're going to get John Rahm establishing himself in the top 50 of the world rankings again, which is a good thing. And maybe there was a bit of karma in him in winning last week, Dave, because I don't know if you were following the story of the private jet. He came to the rescue, because obviously it's all kicking off in the Middle East. And a few LIV players were stranded in Dubai because there was no flights out of Dubai. So Rambo's chartered a private jet to fly out of Oman. So the guys had to get themselves to Oman and then go from there. And so Rahm's $4 million winner's check last week, so help pay for the private jet that he sorted out. I mean, it must be noted that two of the players that were stranded were members of Rahm's team, you know, Legion 13.
Yeah. Let's have it right, okay?
Half of Rahm's Legion 13 team was stranded in Dubai. So there was motivation for him on a personal level. But all credit to Rambo. He's ended his streak of second places.
In Steve Palmer's world rankings, John Rahm is not at 36, is he?
No, certainly not. You know, he's obviously a top five player in the world and always has been. Thomas Detry finished runner-up, Dave, and he was one of the players on that plane. So I wondered, going down the stretch, whether Thomas Detry would have felt a little bit guilty if he'd nobbled Rahm last week after getting help to get there. Two Belgians chasing Rahm. You know, Thomas Peters. Got a lot of Thomas Peters chat on this broadcast, Dave. Don't worry, I'm not tipping him. Yeah, if he wins this week, he'd be the player that hurts me the most. Or he's probably the man you should be chunking on, because obviously the Casey Jarvis, Ricky Castillo debacles. The Lord is not on my side at the moment. So Thomas Peters, you have to consider him. He shot 61 on Saturday.
I don't care because he just doesn't win golf tournaments.
You'll find it fascinating, Dave, because I know you like your social media. Thomas Peters shot 61 and then he told the reporters that he found an instructional video on Instagram just before he went out, and he was watching this instructional video on Instagram and it just worked wonders for his game, and he shot 61. So Thomas Peters looked amazing on the Saturday. And he was only one shot behind with four holes to play. One shot behind Rahm with four holes to play. Then he hit probably the worst shot of his entire career on the 15th tee. I don't know if you were watching Live Hong Kong. He took an iron off the tee and just hit it straight right into the trees. It was a disgusting shot. So he's another one on a long victory drought. He hasn't won since the 2022 Abu Dhabi Championship. So I think Peters is going to play well this week. But can you trust him to get over the winning line in front? Maybe not.
No, is the answer to that. Did you tip him when he won in 2022? Do you remember? Did you tip him?
No, I don't think I did. But No. Thomas Peters is tough to get away from this week, I promise you. And then Matthew Wolff is also tough to get away from. Just before we move on, we got 100 tournaments to review. Matthew Wolff, you remember the start of the season? I was suggesting it might be a comeback year for Matthew Wolff. Got a load of abuse when he didn't come out of the traps too well in Riyadh. But he was really good over the weekend in Live Adelaide, and then he finished fifth last week. So I maintain that this will be the year of the comeback for Matt Wolff.
Has he still got the set in his swing?
Yeah. And he had some back problems last year.
I'm not surprised the way he swings it.
Yeah. He's got to look after himself a bit better now. But yeah, I think he's absolutely enthused by the fact that Brooks Koepka's not on the Live circuit anymore. He's getting his fitness back, and I think Matt Wolff's on the way back. So he's another one to be tempted by this week.
Why would he be enthused that Brooks Koepka's not there anymore? Did they?
Oh, they were arch enemies. They hated each other. Brooks Koepka was a bully to him when he was captain of him, and was telling him that he had no work ethic and that he's a loser and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He just broke Matthew Wolff. So he was thrilled to see Brooks Koepka go back to the PGA Tour.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, I know you get Nasty bullied Brooks, at work, Davey. Yeah, old Wilco always bullies you, doesn't he? But you've come through it, and maybe one day Wilco will leave the Racing Post. I don't know.
I will not have Ian Wilkerson's good name besmirched on this show. Okay?
Sorry, silly joke. Keep the pace up, Dave. We've got to get going, and we're going to be...
Okay, right. Where are we off to now? We're going to the Joburg Open. Have Dan Bradbury, a third DP World Tour success, a second Joburg Open, and I did fear for you when Casey Jarvis was looming large. God. I thought, Steve, no, like, this is going to be some kind of breakdown from Mr. Palmer here. Did Casey Jarvis win again? He is running hot. We'll get onto the winner, but he is running hot, isn't he?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, we were on Casey Jarvis for the last three Joburg Opens, and the first one of them was 300-1. So you're right. Yeah, I just can't believe the stamina of the lad. I mean, it finally hit him over the last two holes. He missed a short par putt on 17, and he missed a short birdie putt on 18. Yeah, finally something wrong. And he was broken man off. Eh? He was holding his head in despair. Like, yeah, suddenly something went wrong for Casey Jarvis. But yeah, he went ludicrously close to winning 3 weeks in a row. What a player. Go and have a ruddy rest now, Casey. They'll all be having a rest, actually, because there's no DP World Tour event this week. I mean, Dan Bradbury's got great plans. Dan Bradbury was your winner last week, a two-time winner at Houghton Golf Club now. Brilliant ball striker. And he said that track reminds him of the course he grew up playing in Wakefield. He's a Wakefield lad. But I loved his post-round interview. He said he's off to some wine farms in Cape Town. Like, yeah, that is the way to celebrate. He's going to Cape Town to spend the week drinking at wine farms. So, El Vino will flow for Dan Bradbury.
Love it. Other mentions there. Brandon Robinson-Thompson, a bold showing. Henny Duplessis, another bold showing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Near misses for both of them. I really feel for the Henny Duplessis backers because 4 over par for the final 7 holes. It really did look like Henny Duplessis was your winner. And he lost by 3 shots after a late meltdown. And then Jaden Schaefer, we must give Jaden Schaefer a mention. He finished 15th, good first round, and then, treading water from there and finished 15th. His world ranking didn't move, Dave. I know you're very focused on whether Jaden Schaefer is going to get in the Masters. You've been having sleepless nights about it. Jaden Schaefer is still 57th in the world ranking. So I think that means we'll see him play the week after next in the Indian Open. Try and qualify for the Masters.
One final push. Anything else to add, Dave?
No, sir. Let's get on to the most disgusting tournament of all time.
Okay. Right. Let's get on to the Puerto Rico Open, won by Ricky Castillo, 17 under par, 16 under par, Chandler Blanchett, and 14 under par, Blades Brown. We are going to discuss Blades Brown, but we must talk about your man, Ricky, doing the business. You're a big fan of him. Wasn't on him last week. 17 under par. How good is Ricky Castillo running at the minute?
He's a great player. He's a former world number one amateur, Dave. I don't know whether I've ever mentioned that on this podcast.
Once or twice, yeah.
Former world number one amateur. Fantastic ball striker. We've been on him a lot lately. Got us to place money in the Cognizant Classic the week before. Then took a serious downgrade from the Cognizant Classic to the Puerto Rico Open. I can't give you a satisfactory answer as to why we weren't on him last week. It's just this desperation to keep the tip numbers low.
You decided can't tip the same players every week.
No. But last week it was a choice for the main bet between him and Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen. And, another one of my favourites. I went with Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen. I hate Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen now. It was a disgusting performance from Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen. I think Ricky Castillo, bear in mind, he lost full playing rights at the end of last year. He had that amazing final round in the RSM Classic and narrowly missed out on keeping his card. He's done really well to knuckle down over the close season. He's been banking checks this year. I'm really impressed with Ricky Castillo. Now he's established himself back on the PGA Tour. Yeah, keep him on your side. And then Blades Brown, I mean, ruddy heck. I mean, 18 years of age, probably the most confident 18-year-old I've ever seen. You listen to his interviews, listen to the swagger, like the confidence this lad has. He's quite frightening, actually.
He's a winner. He's going to be a winner. You can just tell. It's pouring out of every orifice of him. He's a winner. This guy is born to win golf tournaments.
Yeah, you wonder how he's been brought up to create that level of confidence at that age. The confidence let him down at the key moment on Sunday because he went for a hero shot from the fairway bunker. It looked like Blades Brown might win. And then he took a hero shot over water from the fairway bunker and made a triple bogey on the 13th hole. So, he's still obviously got some rough edges. The confidence of youth, 4 rounds in the 60s last week, 3rd place, clearly good enough to win on the PGA Tour already.
Do we know who's sort of in and around him? Like, you'd love to see someone who's like a former legend or a great of the game just kind of put an arm around him and kind of steer him through these early tournaments, getting him through situations like that.
Well, this is a player that's just gone straight into the professional game from high school. He's just not bothering with college. He's just fast tracking himself because of that level of confidence. And, Akshay Bhatia, who we'll come to later, it was another who went that route. Normally they go to college, they learn so much in the stateside college game, but this fella's just he's literally only come out of the womb and he's ready to win. He's ready to win on the PGA Tour and he knows it. We should have been on Blades Brown last week. We should have been on Ricky Castillo. Matty Schmidt was on our shortlist and finished 5th. Our shortlist was amazing, Dave, but we picked the wrong names from the shortlist, which is what sends you so mad. But Puerto Rico Open, lessons learned. Let's move on.
Let's move on then, indeed. Right, to the ashtray, then at Arnie's place. Akshay Bhatia winning a playoff against Daniel Berger, who had been odds on for ages. And it got really juicy at the end. And I just, before we get into that, I just want to know, did Akshay Bhatia play in the TGL before playing at Arnie's place?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think he did, no.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
No, if you want to have a TGL discussion about players overexerting themselves, we can discuss Rory McIlroy later in this piece, and we can discuss
Yes, we can. We'll get on to Rory. Let's talk about the winner first. Listen, digging deep in the playoff, the shot he played into, was it 17 where he just knocks it stiff? Or it might have been 16.
Yeah, he started it in shots of the death.
Golf from the gods.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was his short game that got him that chance. Like, his chipping and putting all week was absolutely amazing. He didn't hit the ball very well, and then when it comes to the crunch on the last few holes, and then in the playoff, he started hitting perfect golf shots again. You know, really impressive performance when it mattered. Third PGA Tour title, only turned 24 in January. Gifted player, but a gutsy player, I think it's fair to say, because all of those three wins have come in playoffs, Dave. Yeah. You know, not many players start their career with by winning three playoffs. And, you know, he squandered that big lead for us in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am last month, but held it together superbly at Bay Hill with his short game. And then, you know, secured the biggest win of his career now. So, and
I think he was helped a little bit by Daniel Berger at the end as well.
We'll come to Berger, because I think Berger's been getting a lot of unfair criticism, actually. I thought it was an amazing front-running performance, given the recent history he's had. But I just thought Akshay Bhatia, I wasn't really pulling for Akshay Bhatia until I heard the post-round interviews. You know, like the post-round, it was the most up-and-down post-round interview I've ever heard. First of all, he completely lost me. You know, I lost respect for him when he was just banging on about his sponsors, you know, MasterCard, Callaway, like just like a robot just listening.
Yeah, bore off, mate. Yeah, I'm not interested.
Yeah, we don't need to hear that. But then he rescued it with like such a touching tale. And I was so, I'm a very emotional man, Dave, as you well know. And discussing his niece. His niece died in December at the age of 6. And he dedicated the victory to Mia. And he's seen a rainbow as he's going up the final. It's like, listen to the media conference. It's really, really, really sad. And it gave me a really good dose of perspective, because, there I am fretting about Ricky Castillo, missing Ricky Castillo. These things don't matter, Dave. Yeah, that poor girl. Yeah, read up the story. She died on his wedding day. Akshay Bhatia's wedding day, his niece died. So I was really pleased for him after that. Well done, Akshay, for holding yourself together.
And I'm a big fan. This is a player that can kick on and win multiple events now. Now he's sort of back where he should be. He's a little bit quirky. I like it, though. And now I think he's shown that he's not scared to win, which is a massive, massive attribute.
He's really quirky. He's got the X factor. He uses a really old driver. Obviously, his putting techniques come under scrutiny. He's a flair player, isn't he? He's an inspiration to glasses wearers everywhere. You know, I need glasses. I went to Specsavers the other day and had a good chat with the fella there. He looked like Akshay Bhatia, actually, funnily enough. I just think he's an inspirational character in many ways. I was pleased on a human level that he beat Daniel Berger. Daniel Berger doesn't really appeal as a particularly pleasant chap. I do think Daniel Berger deserves a pat on the back for
At the death of this golf tournament, his driving was wayward.
Yeah. But his driving for a long way was amazing. Those low stingers. Yeah. I think Daniel Berger's come back from some really bad injury problems. His back was sidelined him for many, many months. And then he broke a finger last year. So I think he's overcome a lot of adversity to get in that position. And I think he was just a bit unlucky. I didn't think he thought Akshay Bhatia was his main problem. You know, Akshay Bhatia just suddenly propelled himself back into the tournament with an eagle, didn't he? Berger was seeing off the players he thought were the main issue. Long live Akshay Bhatia. And Cameron Young, we were just so pleased Cameron Young didn't win. He was the only one we were considering other than Scotty Scheffler last week. Cameron Young got full place. We learned lessons from that. And then Scotty Scheffler, we obviously got a huge Scotty Scheffler debate ahead of us.
Fair. I saw him launching his golf ball, like outpourings of rage. You know, has he left the God squad? What's happened to Scotty Scheffler?
No. Even men of God can get angry, Dave. And that was on Friday night. You know, it was a classic situation, actually, because I was raging on my couch at the same time in Weymouth, and then he's raging on the golf course in Florida. I mean, that was because he three-putted the 18th hole on Friday night. That was a key moment because he'd had his first round 70, which wasn't that bad given all the issues he's had in round one, and he was about to start 70-70 with a two-putt from the fringe. So 70-70 kept him in the top 10, kept him close enough to go into the weekend with in a good frame of mind. I didn't mind 70-70, but then he three-putted the 18th. So 70-71, launched the ball, as you say, into the water. He was going, this sucks. He's right. It did suck. That really sucked because it dropped him to 15th place, left him with a mountain to climb over the weekend. Psychologically, much, much worse than just a single shot. He was moaning about the dead greens. All week he had it in his head that these greens were dead greens and unfair, and it wasn't just his approach play. We'll discuss his approach play stats, which is quite staggering. But his putting suddenly dipped last week. There were two factors in the demise last week. His putting was much worse, suddenly much worse than it had been. He got it in his head that he didn't like these greens, but it's the approach play which is the big story, Dave. The first time since 2021, he's had consecutive tournaments with a negative strokes gained on approach statistic. I assumed normal service was going to be resumed last week. I thought, well, that's just a minor blip. Yeah, the approach play will resume, but it didn't. It was scrappy at times, and Scotty Scheffler going forward has got to get that approach play sorted.
This is a player that's going to be priced up whatever tournament he tees up in. He's going to be a short price favourite. So are you saying this is a jolly to run away from at the minute?
Well, it's hard because I think that Friday night, you hit the nail on the head on the key moment in that golf tournament for Scotty Scheffler. I think it was that Friday night because he wasn't that bad over the first two rounds. And then he sort of so angry on that Friday night. And then it meant he pushed on the Saturday morning. He opened the Saturday round bogey. He really needed to press. And that bogey start was an absolute... that was the moment, really. That was the moment when you realised it was all over. I mean, I was travelling back from Weymouth FC's 4-0 win at Tiverton. Yeah, the classic life of the golf punter. I mean, I've seen my team win 4-0 away at Tiverton, Dave. Absolutely euphoric. Yeah, it was a must-win game. It was the most must-win game in the history of Weymouth FC. The club's very survival was at stake. We had to win that game. It's a long story. We haven't got time. So I'm getting back in the car with my mate. My mate's driving me back like we're ebullient. And then, a half hour into the journey, he sees me just like a balloon going. He goes, "What's happened? What's happened?"
Recreate? So I'm your mate driving along. Great win, that Steve, wasn't it? Just recreate your deflation for me.
Well, this is it. We're talking about the goals, and we're definitely staying up now. Who we got next? Hungerford next Saturday. Oh, it's all back on. The terrors will never die. And then I just sit back in the seat. The terrors will never die. Big smile of it. And then bogey start. Like, obviously, this fella's not a golf punter. He doesn't understand. And to be fair, he was really sympathetic because he was just going, your job is just ridiculous, isn't it? When I finish on a Friday night, I got the whole weekend ahead of me. Nothing's going to change my morale. My job's done until Monday morning. Obviously, we have an unusual job, and Saturday and Sunday can be up and down. So that was the moment I realised Scotty Scheffler's race was run on the Saturday after the bogey start. But I think it's important, Dave, for punters not to get too carried away with it. This is not a slump. This is just some slightly scrappy approach play, some unusually scrappy approach play.
When you set them standards so high for so long. And then I don't want to say the wheels come off, but it just looks... a shadow of himself.
A lot of shots left, Dave. Yeah, a lot of shots left. But he's coming to a course this week. He's won two of the last three editions of the Players' Championship. The course sets up ideally for him. He won it. He won it with a neck injury. You might remember a couple of years ago when we were on. Do you remember his neck flared up during the tournament? It looked like he was going to have to pull out. He was just cropped, and he still managed to win. Yeah, this is a fantastic measure of where he's at this week because the course is ideal for him. Yeah, I'm not going to put people off if they want stake savers. We're not backing Scottie Scheffler this week, but
Easter's around the corner. It'd be some resurrection if he was to just come back and win this golf tournament.
I don't think he's far away, but we'll come to him. We'll come to him. There's people with much bigger problems than Scottie Scheffler, I can assure you that.
Right, let's get on to Rory and his back.
Yeah. Rory McIlroy is not arriving at the Players' Championship until Wednesday. So everyone assumed it was just a bit of caution pulling out last week. So he's withdrawn prior to round three with back spasms. And everyone assumed he'd be okay, a little bit of rest, he'd be back for the Players. But he's actually spending Monday and Tuesday getting treatment at home on his back, not returning, not going to the Players' Championship until Wednesday at the earliest. It's obviously a little bit worse than people thought.
I read that he wasn't having treatment. I read he was playing the TGL early this week.
That might be the cause of all the issues, Dave. Fortunately for him, there's no TGL this week. We've got the TGL semi-finals coming up next week.
TGL
last Sunday night, Dave. We talked about it. Played TGL last Sunday night. Then he played 18 holes in the Seminole Pro Member on the Monday. Just abysmal preparation for a signature event. And the backs let go. I mean, there's other players that were involved in that. Justin Rose shot 70-80 to miss the cut at Bay Hill. He had the poor preparation. Tommy Fleetwood, we mentioned Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood might have had some excuses mentally, actually, because obviously his family lives in Dubai. He had a lot on his mind last week. It may be down to that, but I don't think the TGL and the Seminole Pro Member combo helped either. He finished 49th of 50 last week. TGL might be a factor. It might not be, but we ain't got to worry about that until next week.
Right, one more player I wanted to ask you about from the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Ludwig. Big showing from Ludwig. Where are we at with Ludwig Aubert?
It was a huge showing from Ludwig Aubert. We'll have a big chat about Ludwig Aubert imminently. Justin Thomas is probably the last name you should be talking about because Justin Thomas made his comeback from injury last week, back surgery. And, ludicrous place to consider your comeback, isn't it? Bay Hill is so penal to miss it shots. And he missed the cut by 12 shots, 79-79. So, Justin Thomas has got a long road back. He's won the Players' Championship before, but it's a brave man backing him this week, I'd say.
I'm very excited. I'm a big fan of Ludwig, so I'm very excited now. Right, let's begin previewing then, shall we?
He wears eyeliner, don't he, like you, Dave? Yeah, eyeliner, like Ludwig.
Yeah, what? Can you believe someone in the YouTube comments suggested that I wear eyeliner? Well, it might have been talking about you, but I'm assuming they were talking about me.
Yeah. Do you wear eyeliner, Dave? Do you want to get it all out there now?
Do you need me to answer that? I can confirm that I do not wear eyeliner.
What about the sunbeds? Do you go on the sunbeds? I sometimes think you look quite
No,
tan.
I use the fake bake. That's an Essex special. Comes in a can. Oh,
And do you shave your armpits? We have got to get on, but I'm into this now. So,
I do not shave my armpits.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave. Let's move on.
Do you shave at all?
Fair question. No, I don't have time for any of that business.
Oh, let's move on now. Right, now we're getting on to Steve's appearance. Let's move on. Right, let's get to Live Singapore then. Where are we, Steve? And what sort of player should we be looking at?
The Serapong course, Sentosa Golf Club, Sentosa Island, Singapore. 7,406 yards, par 71, three par fives. The Serapong hosted the Singapore Open on the DP World Tour from 2005 through 2022. And then we had Live Singapore every year since 2023. Heavy bunkering, numerous water hazards, large undulating greens. This is a course that demands strong ball striking. Weather forecast, hot, humid, thundery, light to moderate breezes. Probably need about 20 under par to win this. 57 runners going to post. Place your bets by 1:15 a.m. Thursday morning, UK time. Live on TNT Sports Discovery Plus, Live Golf Plus app. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, right, let's have a look at the market. The prolific now, John Rahm is our market leader. Bryson DeChambeau next in, David Puig, Joaquin Niemann, who is prolific. They are the market leaders. Just remind us, what sort of player should we be looking for, Steve?
Yeah, I think length important this week. I think strong ball striking. Yeah, strong drivers. So, yeah, you mentioned John Rahm. He's definitely a massive runner this week.
Length, I think, beefy Bryson. Right, how many selections have you got for us, Steve?
Three selections.
Okay, what is the formation? A three and a...
It's three and a five. Wow, we're having eight tips again this week. We're not messing up this week.
Okay, so 15 each way doubles, if you wish to follow in. Who is the main selection then for Live Singapore?
David Pooge, who should be winning on the Live circuit sooner rather than later. He's won twice on the Asian Tour. The first of those victories was in the 2023 International Series Singapore. He won that event in Singapore by a five-shot margin, returns to the country this week as a DP World Tour champion, won the Australian PGA Championship in fine style in November. Whenever he tees up on the Asian Tour or the DP World Tour these days, he seems to contend for the title. Started this year with third place in the Dubai Invitational. You'll remember that duel he had the following week with Patrick Reed for the Dubai Desert Classic title. That was Reed against Pooge. No disgrace in losing to a former Masters champion. Then Pooge started his Live campaign and was fourth in Live Riyadh. We were on him in Live Riyadh. He was disappointing in Live Adelaide, but last week, back amongst the birdies in Hong Kong, 65, 64, 71, 66, eighth place. So three good rounds last week. This week, he comes to a much more suitable venue. He can open his shoulders at the Serapong. Last year, he finished fourth in. He was alone in fourth place in Live Singapore. This time, hunting a maiden Live title. I think he's the most serious threat to John Rahm. I'd make him second favourite behind John Rahm. But yeah, this may be a Ryder Cup pairing, Dave, for 2027 at Adair Manor. Yeah, Rahm and Pooge together.
I like it. That makes sense. But it would make sense for them to pair up, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be a great pairing. Hopefully we can get John Rahm in the Ryder Cup. There's still lots of silly little issues. It's the most annoying debate going at the moment, the John Rahm Ryder Cup one.
Yeah, we won't go into that. I mean,
we won't go into that.
He's not happy about paying fines, but he'll charter a jet for his teammates. But let's move on. Right, here's the main selection. Who's the next best?
Caleb Surratt, another rising star of world golf. Pooge is 24, Surratt is 21. Both made waves in stateside college golf before joining Liv straight from college. Both have enjoyed their starts on the Asian Tour. Caleb Surratt started playing Asian Tour events in 2024. He played in three events and he finished in the top three in all of them. He's finished second in the Saudi International the last 2 years. He ended last year with eighth place in the Australian Open. He started this year in solid fashion, 17th in Adelaide, 18th in Hong Kong last week, but that doesn't tell the whole story. Surratt was one of those players that was stranded in Dubai, Dave, at the start of last week. Really unfortunate for him because he doesn't live in Dubai. He was just there. He decided that he wanted to practice in Dubai between Live Adelaide and Live Hong Kong, which in normal circumstances would have been a good tactic. But in this circumstance, it was just badly timed. And it was a particular problem for Surratt because he had his wife with him on this trip. So really, really scary time for him and his wife, missiles and drones attacking Dubai. So he got on that private jet from Oman last Wednesday, got to the Hong Kong event, much later than he would have liked. Very flustered, of course, understandably flustered. Open with a 75 in Hong Kong with the lack of preparation. Then once he settled in Hong Kong, he was absolutely superb. Friday, he shot 64. Saturday 65, Sunday 65. Only two players in the field outscored Surratt over the final three rounds last week. He finished 19th in Live Singapore last year. So I think this course suits. I'm expecting a big week for Caleb Surratt.
Okay. I'm going for the younger brigade then in the Live this week. No love for John Rahm. Not fancying him going back to back.
Well, we've got one more tip, David. It's funny you should say. It's funny.
It's not going to be John Rahm.
it's not John Rahm. No, it's not John Rahm. No, we can discuss John Rahm now if you like. Yeah. John Rahm. No, I've got plenty of respect for John Rahm this week. I think if you beat John Rahm this week, you've got a very good chance of winning the tournament. I think this course sets up lovely for John Rahm. He's finished 10th and 5th in his two goes at this course. Yeah, it's a driver's course. When John Rahm can get his driver out, which he couldn't really do last week. I know it's lots of rain last week. It played a lot softer than normal in Hong Kong, and the leaderboard reflected that, but Yeah, you can't get your driver out much at Hong Kong Golf Club. You can on this one. So, yeah, I think Rahm's a massively respected favourite this week. I think he could easily go back-to-back. I just got three better value alternatives here.
Right, I found Caleb Surratt at 60-1 if you shop around. Are you telling me that the third selection is an even bigger price?
It's slightly bigger, and it's a shame I can't continue your theme of younger men, because this is a very experienced campaigner who's probably younger than you think, though, actually. And it's Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson still has plenty to offer at the age of 41, I feel. Easy to forget.
He's only 41.
Exactly. Only 41. Only 41. Never had any serious injuries. He's still got plenty to offer. I think he gets ruled out. I think his career gets ended by people way too quickly. We've learned our lesson on this now with Anthony Kim. You know, great players have to be respected until the day they hang up their clubs. And certainly a 41-year-old, it's easy to forget how good Dustin Johnson was. He was world number one for 135 weeks, Dave. You know, when it was a united golfing world, you know, all the best players had the chance to be world number one. He was world number one for 135 weeks, two-time major champion, 24-time PGA Tour champion. He's got a good record in Asia, won the HSBC Champions in China, twice won the Saudi International. And I think Anthony Kim's an inspiration for him, because that's a classic example of class is permanent, Dave, isn't it? You know, when you're always trying to keep my pecker up, you say that to me when we're on a bad run, which we are at the moment. You know, Anthony Kim has proved class is permanent, and they're teammates now. Dustin Johnson and Anthony Kim are teammates. Johnson signed Anthony Kim for four aces when Patrick Reed left LIV Golf. These two are like two peas in a pod. You know, they're soulmates, Johnson and Kim. The chemistry in the four aces has never been better, Dave. They're absolutely buzzing. Thomas Peters is a character. They got a great camaraderie in the team now. They're inspiring each other, and they won the team event last week. Yeah, you know, John Rahm ended his individual drought last week. Four aces won their first team event for 974 days. So Johnson's got his tail up. He signed for LIV the other day until 2029. Yeah, all this talk about the good players going back to PGA Tour. Johnson's committed to LIV. He's committed to the four races. Anthony Kim, the ruddy inspiration for him. And probably most importantly of all, Johnson's found a driver that he likes now, Dave. You know, Johnson was winless last year for the first time since 2014. He had a decade of winning every year. And then last year was the first one since 2014 he didn't win. And the reason for that is just he had a different driver every week. His contract with TaylorMade ended. And then when his contract with TaylorMade ended, he became a free agent. And he started to experiment with all these different drivers. And he'd gone through billions of drivers. And he couldn't find what he liked. And driving, as you know, has always been the foundation of Dustin Johnson's game, the strength of his game. But this year, he's finally found a driver he likes. That you've probably got one of these, Dave. I know you play a lot more golf than me. TaylorMade QI4D. That's the latest TaylorMade driver, the QI4D. He's got his driver.
I do not have the budget for that driver, I'd like to assure you.
Well, he's loving this new driver. He closed with a 64 in LIV Riyadh. He was solid in Adelaide. He closed with a 65 in LIV Hong Kong. So the signs are positive. We know he loves Serapong. He was seventh in 2024. He opened with a 63 last year, finished fifth. So I can see Dustin Johnson, who's a massive price this week, stunning a few people and becoming the next Anthony Kim, if you will.
70 is out there. Dustin, what a player. And he's at the peak of his powers. Bomb it, wedge it, putt it, and then bank it. Bank the chip. Yeah. Just a wind machine.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we got a three-pronged attack in the LIV scene.
When was the last time Dustin Johnson won a golf tournament then?
2024 on the LIV circuit. Yeah, he's won three times. Chicago, I think. He's won three times on the LIV circuit. Well, it might be Las Vegas.
He's just going off big prices. I think you tipped him up a couple of times last year, didn't you? Just because he's massive prices about such a brilliant player.
Yeah, he's still young enough and good enough to win on the LIV circuit. And as I say, he's just full of inspiration. You know, I can imagine Anthony Kim and Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson was spraying Anthony Kim with sparkling water after Anthony Kim won the other day in Adelaide, because obviously Anthony Kim, a reformed alcoholic. So they were spraying sparkling water. Yeah, the camaraderie is incredible.
I'm still convinced that you, along with the players that are actually playing, the only people in the world that care about the team of him. The people, is it a thing, Steve? People don't care.
Well, there's plenty of money to be won by the, I mean, Anthony Kim's delighted to be a four ace. I mean, he just can't believe his luck. He's raking it in now. So
He's playing in it. But is it a thing of people? Let us know in the comments. Are you following like the team aspect of Liv?
Yeah, let us know in the comments. I mean, it's the only winner we've had this year is Ripper to win the Liv Adelaide. So, I mean, I love the team events. But
we boxed off John Rahm. What about Beefy Bryson? Because this is a track that should suit him, right?
He was tailed off last week. He's never been a factor in Liv Singapore. You're right, it should suit him, but he's never really been a factor. He's got equipment issues, Dave. He parted company with LA Golf. LA Golf make his shafts. Well, they did make the shafts in his clubs. Bryson DeChambeau wanted to become the majority shareholder of that company. He wanted to go from 2% share to 51% share, laid his cards on the table, and then the LA Golf chiefs told him to do one. They didn't like that. So he's got equipment issues, and he doesn't seem very happy on Liv at all, does he? So Bryson DeChambeau, for me, he's second favourite this week. I don't think he should be second favourite. I think David Poo should be second favourite. So
there's been money for him as well, Bryson. There's been money for him this week.
It's the respect that you and the YouTube community have for him. But there are equipment issues and something not quite right about Bryson DeChambeau at the moment. Thomas Peters is the other one. If you want another one, back Thomas Peters. I think he'll place.
Oh, okay. But let's move on, shall we? Listen.
You better move on.
Thomas Peters has never knocked it over his house into a hole like Bryson DeChambeau has. So
it's true. It's true.
There's always going to be love for Beefy Bryson. But right, we're giving him a swerve this week. Do you want to move on then?
We have to, Dave. We must crack on. We've got to play. It's the Players' Championship. People will be frustrated. We're talking about Liv Singapore. But
well, before we get to the players, a reminder that it is Cheltenham Festival Week here at the Racing Post. We've got you covered. Good morning, Cheltenham. In the know. Everything you need to know and all the experts, the likes of Tom Sigal, Paul Keeley, who is, I've said it before on this show, if you haven't got a clue, just follow Kills, right? Because he is a good judge. You could do a lot worse than just follow Kills in. Right, whatever he's doing at Cheltenham this week, might even drop him a message at some point today because it is, of course, the start of the festival. Have you got anything for us, Steve? I sent you away last week.
I cannot justify a bet on the Cheltenham Festival. Good luck, everyone, with your horsey bets. But I the run I'm on, how last week went, I cannot justify having a horse bet. So no, please don't get me involved in that.
Okay, I've got nothing to bring to the table. But there you go. The people that do know, you will find them on the Racing Post YouTube channel. So do make sure you're tuning in over the next 4 days. Right, the Players' Championship at the iconic TPC Sawgrass. I grew up playing computer games, playing on this golf course. It is an iconic one. We're in Florida. Tell us about the track, Steve.
Yes, the stadium course, Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, 7,352 yards, par 72, 4 par 5s, a Pete Dye design, has hosted since 1982, the famous 17th hole, Island Green, probably the most famous hole in golf. The Players used to be played in May, switched to March in 2019. So we got lusher conditions in March, longer course, but easier course because more receptive fairways, more receptive greens. The 2020 event was abandoned after one round due to COVID-19. We need to do a klaxon, Dave. I don't think I'm in the right frame of mind to do a klaxon. So you're going to have to do a klaxon. Because
no, absolutely not.
After Casey Jarvis and Ricky Castillo, I do not have the ability to produce a klaxon. Can we just get any sort of noise out of you, Dave? Just one small noise is all we need. There we go. You can do it. Believe in yourself, Dave. That was the potential draw bias klaxon. The weather forecast is so unsettled over the first 2 days of this tournament. It's almost impossible to identify which side of the draw you want to be on because there's thunder involved. So you don't know when thunder's going to stop play. We got wind on Thursday. We got thunder on Thursday. We got wind on Friday. Then we got a sunnier, calmer weekend. So some punters may prefer to wait until the weekend when the weather settles down before they place your bet. If you play pre-tournament, then you're probably going to need some luck on Thursday and Friday. Yeah, it's not certain there'll be a draw bias, but it's definitely a possibility. We've got a field of 123 going to post. The action is scheduled to start at 11:40 a.m. UK time on Thursday.
So it's not even guaranteed. You maybe make the noise and it's not even guaranteed.
But it's the potential draw bias klaxon, that is. Right.
And you're telling me that it could be quite a severe draw bias and you have absolutely no idea. So we can't even bother looking at tee times, going out early, going out late.
I have to be honest, because obviously with when Thunder's involved, you don't know when there's going to be a suspension in play. I mean, if I was a betting man, Dave, I would if you put a gun to my head and said I had to pick, I would suggest early, late's going to be better. But I cannot say that with confidence.
Does that make you just a little bit reserved coming into this golf tournament? I know you've told us you're putting up five, but would you drop the stakes a little bit and kind of tread a little bit carefully because the rules can come off early doors?
Yeah. You've got to keep an eye on that weather forecast. Obviously, we're talking on a Tuesday morning. The closer you get to the event, you'll have a greater handle on that weather forecast. So keep an eye on the weather forecast and work from there. But over the weekend, we should be getting much calmer conditions. And you might want to save your bigger stakes for the weekend.
Right. We'll park that for a moment. This golf course, you spoke about 17, which is iconic, but what sort of player thrives around Sawgrass?
Well, accuracy is the king over power, even since the switch to March. You know, this is a longer course. You have longer irons into the greens now. But, yeah, accuracy is the king because anything wayward, obviously, there's so much aqua on this course. Accuracy is still the king at Sawgrass, just less so than it was in May.
Okay, I'm very excited for this main selection. Now, you've given it the build-up. Don't disappoint me, Steve. Right, we've got five in the team. Who is the main pick? In fact, pause for a moment because we need to do a show. The Chef is 4-1 market leader. McIlroy is as big as 16s. Morikawa, a similar price. Ludwig Ober, 25s is out there. Xander Schauffele, 28s. Tommy Fleetwood, 28s as well. Matsuyama, a similar price, maybe 33s if you shop around. Five selections, the Players' Championship, TPC Sawgrass. Who is the main bet?
Ludwig Ober, who is playing a home game this week, Dave. He moved to Pontevedra Beach in November 2024, lives 15 minutes down the road from Sawgrass. It's his practice base. He can expect to contend for the Players' Championship for the first time on Sunday, having got his confidence back at Bay Hill. You're absolutely right. That was a really encouraging performance at Bay Hill. It's been a slow start to the year for Ober. He was ill during the West Coast swing, took him a while to get his strength back. The signs were encouraging in the Genesis Invitational at the end of last month. He closed with a 66 there for 20th place. Then last week, Ober fans absolutely purring again. He opened with a 66. He closed with a 67. He tied for third place. He was first for driving distance, yet second for driving accuracy. His driving is in sensational nick. He was third for strokes gained on approach, and he gained strokes putting. He missed a lot of chances on the greens, but his speed control was absolutely superb, wasn't it, all week. He's thrilled with his new putter. He was putting with a new putter for the first time last week, this beautiful new Scotty Cameron prototype. Check it out on the internet. You'll definitely want one of them, Dave. So Ober, back in business, all smiles, loves his new putter. He finished eighth at Sawgrass on his debut in 2024. He carded three rounds of 67 that week. Surprising miscut last year, but he says this is one of his favourite courses in the world. And the icing on the cake is his caddy. He's got a Players' Championship winning caddy on his bag. Joe Skovran was alongside Ricky Fowler when Ricky Fowler won the 2015 Players. So I think they're a fantastic combination this week. And I think they deserve headline. They're the headline bet, those two. Sorry, I got an ant wandering around here. Press on, Dave. Press on. I'll deal with the ant.
Okay, a bit of powder for Steve there over in Weymouth. Okay, we love Ludwig, and he is the main selection then. Who is the next best?
Colin Morikawa, who is clearly back to his best. Don't give me that face, Dave. He's clearly back to his best.
I don't like him, but yeah, okay.
he won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am last month. Then he closed with a 65 for seventh place in the Genesis Invitational. And then last week, finished fifth in the Arnold Palmer. And it was such an encouraging performance on the greens, Dave. I mean, when Morikawa is putting well, yeah, this is a serious golfing package. And this week he comes to a course that's probably better suited for him than any other on the PGA Tour. Morikawa's career built on tee to green precision. He made his Players' Championship debut in the 2020 edition that I mentioned that was cancelled after round one. He shot a 4-under par round there. He was in seventh place when they abandoned that tournament. Nobody outscored him in the final round the following year. He closed with a 66 that day. He was on the wrong side of a massive draw bias in 2022 and missed the cut. He finished 13th in 2023, 45th in 2024, 10th last year. So he's got an understandably solid record at Sawgrass. He's won a PGA Tour event in Florida, the 2021 WGC at the Concession. Yeah, I just see him as a surefire title contender, Dave. I mean, when Morikawa's putting well, you have to take him seriously. And unless he gets a bad set of tee times like he did in 2022, I just don't see how he can not be in contention on Sunday the way he's playing.
Yeah, very well respected in the market. He's third in with most bookmakers.
Rightly so, rightly so. And Scheffler, I respect, but McIlroy has to be a drifter given the injury report.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in places, Morikawa was a short price than the McIlroy as well, which is remarkable. When was the last time Morikawa was a winner?
2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Pebble Beach Pro-Am. You've expunged it from your memory because we're on Akshay Bhatia, so you're obviously heartbroken about Akshay Bhatia and have tried to forget about it, and I commend you for that. But
yeah, but he's a player that is he's good for an each way bet. I went through a spell of just backing him each way or backing him top 10 finish because he just gets amongst it. He doesn't often win, probably doesn't win as much as I like, having carried him, so a bit of pocket talk there. But yeah, he always gets amongst it.
He's looking as good as he has been since he won those majors. Obviously, he won two majors early in his career. He's looking as good as he has since then. He's got a baby on the way. He's going to become a father soon. Everything is looking rosy in the world of Colin Morikawa. I think I got three main bets this week, and he has to be in the staking plan.
Okay. Has he done any more media training? Is he a bit more favourable in his interviews now?
No, I don't think he's ever going to be a great entertainer, but he'll entertain us royally if he wins on Sunday night.
Okay, and that's all that matters, right? That is all that matters. Right, two selections down. Who is the third of five picks?
Siwoo Kim, who won this title in fine style in 2017, a three-shot victory. He was and still is the youngest winner in the history of the Players' Championship. He was only 21 back then. He's now a four-time PGA Tour champion at the age of 30. And my word, he's been threatening victory number five in recent weeks. He's been hitting his ball like God, Dave, for the best part of 7 months. He's been hitting his ball like God. He's been putting like Dave Clark. 12 of his last 14 tournaments have yielded a top 25 finish. Six top sixes in that stretch. Fifth place in the BMW PGA at Wentworth. Fourth in the RSM Classic, third in the Australian Open, second in the Farmers Insurance Open, third in the Phoenix Open, 13th at Bay Hill last week. Massively consistent form, all based on a strong foundation of strong ball striking. All Kim needs is a half-decent week of putting, and a trophy should follow. Where better to tee up than Sawgrass, Dave? You know, Sawgrass is all about ball striking. It's ball striking so much more important than putting this week. He finished 23rd on his player's debut in the year before he won it. In that 2020 Players' Championship, which is easy to forget, expunged from the record books, he opened with a 65 in that. He was in second place before we all went into COVID hibernation. He finished ninth in 2021. He was sixth in 2024. I just don't see how the pride of South Korea is not in contention on Sunday unless he gets a bad set of tee times.
The pride of South Korea. He was putting like me, was he? Was good for always good for a three putt. Yeah,
his putting. He could have won so much this year if he was putting well. But as I say, at Sawgrass, you just need to putt average. You know, it's all about ball striking. Siwoo Kim, this is a golden opportunity, and we know he can handle winning the Players' Championship because he has won the bloody Players' Championship, Day.
Okay, right, three down, two more to go. Who is the fourth selection?
Kurt Kitayama, who won the 2023 Arnold Palmer Invitational, a signature event, repelled Rory McIlroy. He's shown he's able to defeat a top-class field, a tough Florida layout. Kitayama, one of the best ball strikers on the PGA Tour. He'll find fairways. He'll churn out greens in regulation. The windy first 2 days is a real positive for Kitayama. He's good in the wind. He was third in the 2022 Honda Classic. He was 19th in the 2024 Players' Championship. Playing well enough to be a leading contender in the Sunshine State again. Closed with a 64 for second place in the Genesis Invitational last month. He was beaten by just a shot. Then he was 18th at Bay Hill last week. So, yeah, I think a third PGA Tour title for Kurt Kitayama is entirely feasible. He's a nice, juicy price.
He is a big price. You have to scroll a A long way down to find Kitayama, who's as big as 60. One more to come then. Who is it?
Yeah, I was going to have just four, but when I saw the price of this lad, I felt compelled to get involved. He's opened up at 1,250 to 1. I think 1,251 is just ludicrous price, about a 24-year-old of great promise. If you knock the one off that price, I'd be considering him, Dave. I think 250 to 1 would be a fair bet. 1,250 to 1. Carl Phillips. It took him just four starts on the Korn Ferry Tour to become a Korn Ferry Tour champion. It took him just four starts to win on the PGA Tour. He won the Puerto Rico Open last year. Hasn't managed to kick on to bigger things yet, but still young, still learning, still improving. Time is on his side. And we know he can handle sawgrass. Phillips played six times in the Junior Players Championship, which is played at sawgrass. Never finished outside the top 10 in those six starts. And in November 2024, the same time as Ludovic Aubert moved there, Carl Phillips moved to Jacksonville. So he lives just down the road from Sawgrass. He's been there since November 2024. He moved into an apartment with Michael Thorbjornsson, Dave. So Michael Thorbjornsson and Carl Phillips living in an apartment in Jacksonville, just down the road from Sawgrass. I don't know. I don't know who looks after the bins, Dave, in the Michael Thorbjornsson, in the Phillips Thorbjornsson.
I was going to say he lives with Michael Thorbjornsson in my bin. Yeah.
So yeah, they're best mates, and yeah, you have to consider Thorbjornsson this week as well. But yeah, Phillips Players Championship debut last year, but it was all a bit of a whirlwind because he only got in that Players Championship last year because he won the Puerto Rico Open the previous week. So you know, absolute whirlwind and missed the cut in the Players, but. This time, he's had a week off prior to the Players. He would have been practicing on the course he knows like the back of his hand. Yeah, that course comfort and the potential that this player has to be one of the greats. Yeah, Tiger Woods respect him enough to make him a brand ambassador for his clothing ring. You know, Carl Phillips has not kicked on since Puerto Rico, but I expect him to kick on at some stage. Where better than on a course that he knows like the back of his hand?
Well, riddle me this then. Why is he 1,250 to 1? Must because be a reason. Why the bookmakers want to be
on, well, the bare form figures. Yeah, the bare form figures recently. He's missed his last two cuts. But he was 18th in the American Express at the start of the year. It just hasn't excelled since he's won that Puerto Rico Open. But, that's why you're getting that price. I mean, and obviously...
Well, I like to get creative, as you know, with all different kinds of bets. And there's a cut here,
all right, yeah.
So he's the sort of player we should be looking at just to make the cut.
Yeah, sure. I agree with it. Yeah, I'm happy with that, Dave. I'm happy with that. Yeah, I think 1,251 is disrespectful about a player that's got great potential. So, that's the five. As I say, three main bets and then one mid-range bet and then one, you know, you don't need much on Carl Phillips.
You won me at Ludwig, so it's all good. It's all good. Right, the chef, 4 to 1. We've already spoken about him in depth. There's 5 to 1. In fact, one of the firms have gone 7 to 1 in a place, but
really?
All is not happy in that camp at the minute, right? So we're going to give him a steer.
I don't think he's far off. I think I'm nowhere near like worrying. So
if he shot the lights out, you'd kind of be like, typical, a week too late.
Yeah, and he's won two of the last three Players. As I say, won one of them with a severe neck injury. So I still have great respect for Scottie Scheffler, and it's a very small sample size. This, yeah, it's just two tournaments that his approach play has been a bit ragged.
Anyone in the YouTube comments that is keeping the faith. Fair play.
Yeah. So would I. And I do think, you know, we're talking about that element of the first 2 days being unsettled, and that, you know, the bad set of tee times potential. Obviously, that's probably the main reason for avoiding short prices about Scottie Scheffler, because you know, he may end up on the wrong side of that draw.
We've spoken about McIlroy as well. What about Xander Schauffele?
I respect Xander Schauffele. He's a similar sort of price to my three main bets there. I just prefer my three main bets. I think they're playing better than Xander Schauffele. But yes, Schauffele has been solid lately. And I'll keep an eye on him when major season comes around. But no, I just prefer my three around that similar price mark.
All good. You're going to have to show me the kit there, Steve, because I asked you before we started rolling that you joined the the West Ham Brigade, or even Burnley. Our producer, Sam, is a Burnley fan. But it's no. Claret and blue of Weymouth.
Well, no, this is Weymouth FC. I mean, the only things that went well over the weekend were that Weymouth won 4-0 at Tiverton, and then I've got me Luke Littler on. Luke Littler won the UK Open.
Remember, I was Luke.
I was late to the UK Open, but fortunately I got to look at that tournament on the Wednesday and then bat Luke Littler to win that. So I'm just reminding myself that good things can happen in the world. Weymouth FC and Luke Littler rescued the weekend. The golf went really badly. So that's why I'm wearing all these garments. And I'm regretting that now because I'm really sweating up.
I was going to say, it's not cold. Be honest with me now. We finished the sweet spot. It's all over. Are you keeping them clothes on for the rest of the day?
I've had these clothes on for the whole week, actually. I've had these clothes on since Saturday. Because I rush around. Time is so difficult, isn't it? I just rush around. Combining work with family life is so difficult. I tend to put clothes on the banister and on the top deck of our house, on the banister. And
Mrs. Palmer is absolutely delighted with. Yeah.
I give him a quick sniff test. I'm not a big sweater, actually, Dave. This is a good chat, isn't it? I'm not a big sweater, so I can wear the same garments.
There's quite another infamous person who's not a big sweater, but we won't go into that.
We won't go into that. No, I'm not that bad. I can wear garments like 3 or 4 days in a row with no problem. And I've just had these on since Saturday. So maybe tomorrow I'll switch into something else. But the mighty Terrors are staying up. The Terrors will never die. Luke Littler is the greatest sportsman that's ever existed and the most reliable bet in sport. All we need now is some golfers to win, and then we're all right.
We'll be all right. We'll find some winners at the Cheltenham Festival, and all is right in the world. Right, let's have a round up then. Two tournaments this week. Live Singapore. Remind us who your selections are, Steve.
David Pooge, Caleb Surratt, Dustin Johnson.
Marvellous. And the Players' Championship?
Ludwig Aubert, Colin Morikawa, Siwoo Kim, my lord, Kurt Kitayama, Carl Phillips.
3 and a 5. So 15 each way doubles there if you wish to play. Reminder that it is, of course, the Cheltenham Festival. I keep banging on about it, but it is the biggest week in racing, and here at the Racing Post, we've got you covered. Keep your eye on the show, socials, and, of course, on this YouTube channel. Like, comment, subscribe. We want to hear from you. I'd love to know anyone who's just roaming in thinking that Scottish Scheffler is a good thing this week. We will be back next week. 3 events. Valspar Championship, Live South Africa, and the running order misses the third one. Do you know what it is, Steve?
The Hainan Classic on the DP World Tour.
The running order's missing it. So
yeah, we're off to China.
There you go.
We
will be back next week. Enjoy the golf.
I'm going to kill an ant. I'm going to go and kill an ant now. Is that allowed? Ants have feelings?
Put that in the comment section. Before wearing them. And we will see you next time. Calm down, Steve. We'll be back next week. Gamble responsibly. Enjoy the golf.